when we are inviting people into our workplace, I think that there's this idea or this resistance that whoever is in leadership, no matter what generation you are, that you only have to fold and lean in and make all of the changes for the upcoming generation. But the conversation goes both ways. And so me as a Gen X leader, when I have a conversation, I tell people, here's how I am as a leader. Here's what's important to me. Direct communication, being on time. If you're 1 minute late to a Zoom meeting, I wonder if you're okay.
Welcome to the Apple One podcast. I'm your host, Brett Howroyd. This podcast consists of three different running series. And today you are listening to our The People Business series, where we have conversations focused on HR, labor law, and really anything HR professionals or executives in general would find interesting. But honestly, I reserve the right to go down whatever rabbit hole or tangent I find interesting. So let's get started with today's topic, generations in the workforce. Our first guest is Dr. Milton Perkins, who I like to call Dr. P. Dr. P, tell us about yourself.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Hello to your listeners, and thank you, Brett, for inviting me to your podcast, and I'd love to talk about this topic. Again, Dr. P, Milton Perkins, an HR practitioner for about 44 years. I've been a CHRO, a VP of HR, a chief diversity officer, a public speaker, and next month, a published author, and I've been blessed with the opportunity to work for the Act One Group of companies in a couple of different companies. I've been around the human capital space for a long time, probably longer than some of your listeners have been alive. This is all I've ever done and I will ever do. Never will retire. This is my lane and I'm going to stick in it. That's my story. I'm sticking in it. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Well, we're lucky to have you. That is quite the renowned career. And thank you for coming on the podcast today. And because the topic is generations in the workforce, Dr. P, are you holding it down for the baby boomers today?
Those are my people. You know, there's things called age cohort and generational cohort. We'll probably get into that during the podcast. But I am the representative for the babies, the baby boomers.
All right. Love it. Our second guest today is Nicole McMurray. Nicole, tell us about yourself and what generation you represent today.
Sure. Thanks, Brett, for having me. I am Nicole McMurray. I represent Gen X. So all of you Care Bear and Strawberry Shortcake fans out there, that's who I will be relating to today. I've been with Apple One Employment Services for 20 years, and I now serve as the regional vice president for our organization. And I'm also a raving fan of Dr. P. So here is his hype girl. Yes, sir.
Love that. Thank you for being on the show today, Nicole. And our third guest is Zoe Laub. Zoe, tell us about yourself and what generation are you representing today?
Hi, everyone. I am an intern to Dream success force here. I started with Apple One Intern to Dream program, and now I am business development writer. So I help sales win counts, and it's just all around a good time. I'm here for Gen Z, born in 2000, a little scary for some people, I think, but hopefully we can dive in and show you that, you know, we're getting older. We're diving into the workforce.
Love that. Thank you, Zoe, for joining the podcast today. And for the record, I myself am a millennial born in 1984. So I think we got all the bases covered. Let's dive into topic one, and I want to start with the academic perspective. We have a doctor on the call before we dive into maybe more fun and games, but Dr. P, maybe share with us what the term generations even means and how academics would define them.
Good question. So generations is kind of a kinship amongst a group of people who were born and lived around the same time. If you look it up by, you know, dictionary, there are some dictionaries and scholarly documents that would define generation as about 30 years. But in the labor market, it is generally accepted to be around 15 to 20 years. So there's two concepts that you need to think about when you think about generation or any human experience. There's something called an age cohort. So I belong to an age group. And we go through physiologically and cognitively the same kind of maturity and experience by age. So most humans hit puberty around age, you know, 10 to 13. That's an age cohort experience. The generational concept deals with what did we experience during the time that we were growing up. So that's why you have five generations currently, because the silent or the traditionalist grew up during a period of time, you know, pre-World War II. And then the baby boomers are after World War II, thus the word baby boom. There was a boom in babies after World War II up until the early 60s. And we grew up and there were things happening during that period of time. The Generation X grew up during their formative years where things were happening during that period of time. And then the millennials and the Generation Z and the Generation A, the next to come. So these generational cohorts have some kinship, were born around the same time. Generally speaking, these folks were born around this time. They had the same experiences, and we'll get into some of the details. So there are five generations in the workplace. The generations academically are considered like 15 to 20 years in the labor market. And there's five of us here, all with different programming, experiences, values, behaviors, et cetera. So
that was really helpful, Dr. P. And, you know, I'm glad you shared one of the things there because I'm a millennial, but I don't relate, like you said, to everything that might be a stereotypical millennial. And then there's other things that I think a millennial will bring up and I'll totally be vibing with it, right? So to your point, it's not an absolute science, but there is a general pattern for what people experience and how that kind of forms them. So that was awesome.
Brett, there's a concept called cusp babies as well. People born on the tail ends of the generational that have some of the attributes of each of the generations.
So
they're cusp babies. I'm a baby boomer, but I identify with the Xers and the Ys. So I'm a pretty hip and contemporary and forward-thinking boomer.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, as opposed to being more of a traditionalist and leaning backwards, I lean forward and lean into the more contemporary generations.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, Dr. P. Brett, I don't know if you've seen this too. When we're having these generational conversations with our clients and hiring in the workplace, it's interesting to see how with each generation, the pendulum will kind of swing to the extreme. So if baby boomers were maybe called the layaway generation, then Gen X tends to be really fiscally conservative. Millennials earn to spend, and then our Gen Zers are now really conservative in their spending and saving as well. So as we look at the different generations and the experiences, that whole idea of not wanting to be like your parents, you know, we see that a lot. So Dr. P, I didn't know, or Brett, if you had any thoughts on that.
It does. I mean, as you grow up, you know, I don't want to do what my parents did. So I kind of push the envelope. And then from an age cohort perspective, we all hit these cognitive epiphanies. You know, you get around age 11, my parents don't know what they're talking about. By the time my brain fully matures for women in their early 20s, for men in their late 20s.
But we have so much more in common than we think, too. So, Brett, just to add to that, you know, with the influences, if it's swinging both ways, you can really see the connections that you have with different generations as well in the workplace. So that's always exciting for us.
What's interesting within generations as well, talking about this bell curve, and the differences, I think for Gen Z, looking as an elder Gen Z back on those in my generation who may still be in high school, who are still in college, I'm definitely seeing what you're talking about with, like, you know, we're not fully developed yet, right? I'm entering my mid-20s and I'm noticing, you know, there's a disconnect, right? So it will be interesting to see how Gen Z develops and matures, and the rise of Gen Alpha, I think everyone's excited.
I'm afraid of. I don't know about. I have no idea what they're going to bring to the table. So,
Nicole, whether you're an HR professional or not, why do you think it matters to understand how different generations think? Tying this back to our jobs, right? Our professions. Maybe we're managers. Why does it matter that we actually care about understanding these generational differences that we just discussed?
I love that. Thank you so much. I think as Dr. P shared, we are in these environments together. And so hiring is so different post-pandemic. And I think when we're having our conversations with our clients and understanding how to have all these generations in the workplace, how to work through all these differences, the things that matter are the human connection. The, you know, we talk about our mission is to find, understand, and fulfill the needs of another. And so as a hiring manager and someone who wants to keep and retain your employees, if you don't have $1 million to have, you know, 1,000 ping pong tables within your organization, we can do with what we can with what we have. And so spending time to understand. So from what I've learned about Gen Z, they appreciate authenticity and face-to-face interactions. And so whether you're a boomer or a Gen X leader or a Gen Z leader, having things in place that can cause you to have those conversations. Is it a 30, 60, or 90-day stay interview? To make sure that when we're onboarding a new employee, that they're getting that time that they deserve from the leadership within their organization. And so looking for those commonalities, people are not only staying in environments that have a Google, like, you know, cereal on every floor and 1,000 coffee pods. We are learning more and more that people need relationships, and that involves understanding the people that we're working with, and then leaning into curiosity. So I don't have all the answers, but if I work next to Dr. P every day and Zoe and you, I want to understand what's important to them, what matters to them, and then how I can, as a leader, celebrate who they are and create that continuity amongst my team.
Very cool. I mean, you once told me you can't attract talent you don't understand. And
that's
that resonated
right.
with me so well.
Thank you.
Zoe, you're a writer, so communication, it's like your thing, right? How does one tailor their communication in any medium, right? Like writing, on the phone, in person. How does one tailor their communication to someone from another generation?
Well, I think it's important to remember that even though there's some generational commonalities, it's always a case-to-case basis. It's always very individual. I think we talk a lot about, without generations, about introverts and extroverts. So there are those people who like to pick up the phone. There are those people who prefer a text and email. So I think just going in with curiosity and an open mind and getting to know the person for who they are is very leading in how I communicate with people in my workplace. But, you know, it's good to, I think for the younger generations, it's good for the younger generations to meet those in the older generations at their level, because I think we often have the ability to adapt. You know, like we're not completely incapable of picking up the phone. So I think just out of respect, I often find myself just doing what those who are older than me prefer, because I understand, you know, sometimes a phone call is much quicker than going back and forth via text on Teams, right? So really developing wisdom from the experiences of my older coworkers when it comes to what gets this task done quickest and what's the most efficient way to share, you know, notes on an entire document. Do we want to sit on the call for an hour, or do you want to send me, you know, red lines and track changes? And so it's been interesting. I've only been full-fledged in the corporate workforce for about a year and a half, but I think I've already learned enough to count for a decade just off of listening to my peers.
And Brett, you asked, why is it important? Not just anecdotally, but there is science behind this, because we're dealing with humans. So humans have been studied since, you know, people could put pen to paper. There's a body of research called the service profit chain that was commissioned by Harvard, done by Heskett, Schlesinger, et al. There's about 7 academicians, scholar practitioners doing the study. They quantitatively proved that when you engage an employee, their engagement goes up, their retention goes up, their productivity goes up, and they drew this model. When those things go up, your client or your constituent satisfaction goes up, their spend goes up, their referrals go up, and their retention goes up. So they built a business model. Then that's what we, at Act One Government, that's what we provide to clients. We do everything evidence-based. So we'll say, hey, this is a good idea, but here's the data to prove it, and here's the analytics that going forward we can use to make adjustments. So somebody would say, then what in the world must I do? So you need to create a good environment, one that's inclusive, relationship building, transparency, inclusivity, and then the work itself. And I think, you know, like the Generation Z or gig workers, we may get into that. You know, they don't want to be managed chronologically. Manage me on my output and leave me alone.
Awesome. Does anyone know, is there any data that would, you know, prove or disprove this stereotype, maybe that as you rise up the ranks of an organization, the older people will be. So the C-suite, everyone's, you know, of the older generations, and then the entry level, everyone is the Gen Z or millennial. Do we have data that says that that's true or not true? I'd just be curious about that.
I don't know from a data perspective, but I think we talked about this on our call. You're our president and you're a millennial. And so I think for some of our clients right now in these discussions, Zoe brought it up. She's like, I'm 20, Gen Z's growing up. And so I think when we have these pockets in our head of our millennials are in their 40s right now, and they are running organizations or starting their organizations, and they're having an impact. And so there's, outside of the data, we're seeing it each and every day where there's leaders and organizations from all generations. And for us, and for me here locally, in the conversations that we have, when we are inviting people into our workplace, I think that there's this idea or this resistance that whoever is in leadership, no matter what generation you are, that you only have to fold and lean in and make all of the changes for the upcoming generation. But the conversation goes both ways. And so me as a Gen X leader, when I have a conversation, I tell people, here's how I am as a leader. Here's what's important to me. Direct communication, being on time. If you're 1 minute late to a Zoom meeting, I wonder if you're okay. And so in those conversations, outside of the what generation you fall in, understanding who you are and what you bring into the table, and leaning into those conversations. So it's not just, I'm hiring you, you start on my team, I have to change everything, but here's who I am as a leader, here's who you are as a new employee, and I'm excited to get to know you. I was just on the phone with a Gen Z who I'm getting ready to hire, and she said, thank you for having these conversations with me about who I am. It really matters. And so the idea that I was a Gen X boss didn't come up, but the fact that I was caring for who she was is what was allowed her to accept our role.
And Brett, there is data. I don't have the data at my fingertips on generationally what it looks like at the management levels as you go up an organization, but I do know of the five generations in the workplace, only 2% of them are traditionalist. And generally speaking, they're born before 1947. About 18-19% are baby boomers. 35%. The biggest generations are the Ys and the Zs combined. So Ys are about 39%. Zs are about 7%. You combine that, that's the majority. I think anecdotally, without having the data at my fingertip, what you will see is, even though you have these generations by percentages, the most senior levels are still occupied by the boomers and the traditionalists. At some point, that's going to flip, and it's going to be more Gen Y, Z, and millennials that run corporations, similar to women in the workplace. You know, it's probably over 50% of the labor market is female, but when you look at the executive levels, it's still dominated by men. That's going to change at some point. So I have some numbers. I would invite your listeners to email me, and I'll send them links to data that'll have them reading for the rest of their lives. So,
Zoe, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on just my personal experience. So in college, I noticed that as we got older, a lot of people, they either started their own nonprofits, they are engaging in startups, sometimes even creating their own. And I think that brings us back to the gig economy and this idea that Gen Z doesn't like to be micromanaged, would rather, you know, have a little bit more control of their experience. But I also think that the assumption that it's all ambition-based is a little bit misguided, just because in some ways it's just us trying to create our own experience because of the difficult job market. Sometimes it's out of survival. You know, these gigs such as Uber, I think we've mentioned before in a previous conversation that people like to drive Uber because they feel like their own boss. But I also feel like we're missing the element of that, which is sometimes we're motivated by the threat of survival, right? So Gen Z has entered into a really hectic economy as far as the labor side, right? Maybe businesses are flourishing, but we're having our own difficulties getting by. So while it's really admirable, to see the initiative that many of my peers have taken, I understand that the motivation also comes from this idea of, will I ever own a house? Stuff like that, that I think the millennials carved the way for that discussion, right?
I'm convicted when you talk, Zoe, because I did think that the gig economy existed because of that desire for choice and that desire for autonomy in the workplace. And so hearing your perspective on that convicts me as a leader and just a person that I didn't put it in the survival bucket. So I really appreciate the way that you communicated that, because it gives me a different way to look at things from my perspective too. So thank you.
What did they say? The struggle is real, right?
The struggle is real. Yeah.
Yes. So, Zoe, I think you opened up my eyes too, because I think we do idealize the idea of, you know, people can just, or the democratization, we can just start our own businesses. But sometimes this is out of necessity. It's not always just out of self-realization, right? Which is the highest level of that pyramid. Sometimes we haven't made it that high on the pyramid. Let's keep this somewhat business focused, but let's get a little controversial just for fun. You guys up for that?
Heck yeah. Right. Yeah.
So we'll start with Dr. P, but I'm going to come to all of you with this. What do you think are the stereotypes that your generation has amongst the other generations when it comes to hiring and working with them?
Ooh. So I'm going to look younger, because my generation, and I cannot speak for the entire baby boom, you know, generation, but so I'm going to have to be somewhat, put that out there, that this is my opinion, that I think the traditionalists are just holding on for dear life until they transition. But looking down, I think that especially when you think about the millennials and the Zs, which constitute the majority of the labor market, almost 50%, and trending to be 60% in the next few years, that they're selfish. They have the inability to critically think or communicate, and they're very sensitive. Now, I, as a social scientist, understand that because I read about it and I interact with them. So I don't put a negative connotation on it. Like the selfishness is about survival. I have to get done what I have to get done. They also saw the older generations kind of be over manipulated by the system, in air quotes, and they're not going to tolerate it. I do think that they need to have the ability to more critically think. Think about AI. Artificial intelligence without human capital intervention is fantasy. So they will always, and I watch as I'm walking around, I watch the millennials and the Ys and the Zs and the As, all they do is type with their head down. And my thing is, look up, because life is before you. Stop living in this smart device. So some of the things I think are real. When I think about sensitive, I understand this, that my generation, we were not inundated with a lot of external stimuli. Life was simple. 5 television stations that went off at night. There were no microwaves. My mom and my dad cooked, or they allow me to play cook in the kitchen, and we actually cooked. Everything is fast now for the Zs, the millennials, and the Zs. That's how they were trained. That was their experiences at their most, when they were in their formative years, and that's all they know. So the mental health sensitivity issues, I get it. It's like, hey, by the time I look up from my phone, the world has changed. If I look at the news, it is the sky is falling, Chicken Little, and I don't even know if it's going to be here tomorrow. So they are over inundated with stimuli to say worry, worry, worry. And as a result, at least the ones I speak to, there's a lot of millennials and a lot of Zs that have counselors. You know, I'm going to bring that up to my counselor. And my generation, we never thought about counselors. You know, when we had a problem with attention deficit in the class, the belt got a slap upside the head was the medicine we received. So again, I'm going to summarize my generation looking down, sensitive. You know, the term work-life balance was born with Generation Ys. What work-life balance? So I'm speaking from a boomer. Get the job done. Stop complaining. Stop whining. Stop being sensitive. Critically think. Look up and talk about the data. Stop looking for everything in your phone. AI without human capital intervention is fantasy. You must think.
Dr. P, no one can accuse you of not keeping it real just now. Yeah. All right. Let's move down to Nicole. I say down because the boxes are organized with Nicole below Dr. P. Not that you are below Dr. P, but let's move down.
Oh, I thought it was
Nicole.
Age. I thought it was generationally. I was fine with it.
It could be generation, yes. Let's move down to Nicole. What do you think are some of the stereotypes your generation has? And you're sitting in the middle here. So with the older generation and with the younger generations.
Yeah. So for me, being a Gen Xer and loving voicemail, I love to call people and leave a 2-minute voicemail. Me and my best friend do it all the time. And so for the younger generation that I have in my workplace, that might be something that's an adjustment. You can send me a text, but I'm always going to pick up the phone to call you. Stereotypically, when I am on a call with you and your face isn't there, that's really hard for me. I didn't grow up on Zoom calls or in a generation that did that. We had AOL and chat rooms. And so generationally, I think my generation specifically, and speaking from the perspective of Nicole, as Dr. P shared, having that face-to-face interaction is really important. You'll see memes on Instagram where they talk about Gen Zers when we log into a call. We're like, good morning, everyone. How was your weekend? And then you go to the Gen X and camera's off and maybe no one's talking until called upon. And so that relational value is really important. I grew up with a gateway computer that arrived to my sorority house. And when I brought that cow box out upstairs, I was the coolest person in my sorority. And so the digital movement that we've had, I think there's adjustments, but there's often jokes about my ability to incorporate technology in Excel or different things that I'm using. I know that's not true for everybody in my generation, but at least in our office, there's been some fun times where I've been schooled on better ways to do things. And then I think the level of directness, right? Gen Z, Gen X, a lot of Gen X grew up as latchkey kids where we came home, made our own lunches. I know I had to take care of everything that I needed until my parents came home from work. And so that survivalist comes through. And so as Dr. P shared from our leadership perspective, it's let's just get it done as well. We have work to do. And that level of directness, I think sometimes, again, appears in a lot of memes and offers a lot of areas for opportunity for humor in the workplace.
All right, Zoe, why don't you tell us what you think the common stereotypes are your generation has amongst us older generations?
Yeah, I think this is a very subjective topic as well. The general idea that I hear is older generations tend to be more rigid. I think we addressed that with Dr. P earlier. Expect exact promptness. I really appreciate it, Nicole, when you said you actually worry about us when we're 1 minute late. But I think for us, we're like, hey, 1 second, we're coming, right? But it's all right. And just being a little bit too absorbed in work life. Whatever stereotypes Americans have for the French, just think the opposite. And that's probably the stereotype we have for the older generations. But the more rigid you are, I also think the more you care about your work, and that's why. So I've come into this with a little bit more grace, I think, especially working with the Act One group and with Apple One. I think a lot of my coworkers have given me insight about why promptness is important, why it's respectful, right? However, I think a lot of Gen Z looks up to millennials as sort of our big siblings. And we can see that, as I think Brett's mentioned before, that millennials paved the way to a more flexible and balanced work-life culture. So I think Gen Z, we're kind of collecting all perspectives, and as we get older, things might shift. I've had varied experiences, and I think most of the older generation are very receptive whenever I do have a boundary to set, or I do have, you know, anything that's just an understandable life happening that you just sometimes you got to take a step away from your desk, right? In a recent team call, my coworker and fellow Gen Zer, Abigail, I mentioned seeing in the New York Post that most managers agree Gen Z is hard to work with, but I think this is a two-way street. I also found a headline from CNBC talking about how 70% of Gen Z and millennials are considering leaving their jobs. At the end of the day, it comes down to incompatibility. Alongside, you know, we talked about how we have a bit of a weak labor market as far as the employer side, like without understanding Gen Z's motivations, for like survival. I think sometimes people of the older generations can see us as selfish or not with like not having a lot of focus. But I think sometimes we're just a little strung out, and the younger generations just feel a bit overworked compared to previous generations who had lower cost of living. And I think this is a leading factor in the generational divide. I don't think it's necessarily a personal dispute or anything malicious, but yeah, we have a ways to go. And I'm actually really hopeful.
Very insightful. That was awesome.
Love the way you talked.
Yeah, Zoe, we are blessed to have you. You are really just fantastic. You're intelligent, and I really enjoy listening to you.
All right. I want to try something with our guests before we go called Whip Around. And they're not prepared for this. We didn't prep for this. But the purpose of Whip Around is to find out if we're more alike than we think. All right. So let's do this first. I'm going to bring up a word and you can't explain. You just have to tell me if that word gives you a positive, a neutral, or negative reaction. Okay. And we'll just go in order. Zoe, Nicole, Dr. P. And I'm just going to bring up the word and all you can say is positive, neutral, or negative. You guys ready?
Sure.
Yes.
All right. Let's do it. Cryptocurrency.
Negative.
Positive.
Negative.
Negative. Okay. Interesting. Bike lanes.
Positive.
Neutral.
Positive.
Ooh. Positive. Positive.
Yes.
AI.
Negative.
Negative, neutral.
Positive.
Neutral. But obviously, I wish I could explain, but I can't. I have to follow my own rules. Okay. Here's a fun one. Coachella.
Neutral.
I don't know what it is. I'm so sorry.
So I guess that's neutral. Dr. P?
Neutral.
All right. I'm not supposed to explain. Highly positive at one point and now negative. But that's maybe the millennial, my age group. Telehealth.
Positive.
Positive.
Negative.
Positive. Maybe a generational thing there. Yeah. Vegas.
Neutral.
My dad lives there, neutral.
Negative.
My mom lives there, neutral. Hey, how about that, Nicole?
There it is.
The Oscars.
Neutral.
Neutral.
Negative.
Positive, but maybe it's because I'm born and raised in Southern California. I feel like it's part of our economy. Fully remote work.
Positive.
Neutral, negative.
Positive.
Neutral, negative. The Olive Garden.
Positive.
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 Positive. All right, we got one.
We can all agree on breadsticks.
Breadstick and salad. Yes.
Unlimited salad. There's something for everyone at the Olive Garden. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. I just said that for Nicole. No one has to answer that question.
I'm so positive.
All right. That was fun. That was Whip Around. Other questions in the Whip Around spirit, and then we'll close. How many days a week do you check social media, Zoe?
Every day.
Nicole?
Every day.
Dr. P?
Every day.
Oh, we have a lot in common. So I check LinkedIn every day, but I'm that one weird person who like at one point just totally just none. So I'd be zero if it wasn't for LinkedIn, which is for business purposes. Next one. Do you regularly consume the news? And if so, do you get it from TV, a publication, or social media?
Mostly social media, but I go to the article links.
Very good. Nicole?
I don't personally love the news unless it's something staffing related. And my husband will normally update me on things that he wants to talk about at dinner.
All right. Dr. P?
Don't watch it.
All right. So you don't, whether it's a newspaper, TV, nothing.
I check the news 30 seconds every day. Only for this, I'll go to CNN, Fox, or any news network and see if they're at commercial break or if there's some breaking news. I'll stop and I'll listen. If they're at commercial break, I turn off the television and I say to myself, we still have a planet. And then I go about my business. Otherwise, it would be broadcasting, you know, major catastrophe. So I think it's negative programming because the news actually reports the weather in a negative place.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I don't listen to the spin. if I do something, I'll read an article and then I'll move on. And I watch C-SPAN constantly. It's always on in the corner.
I do the same thing, Brett. I highlight, but not to the, I want to approach each day as if it's a gift and really enjoy the people around me. And I don't want to be cast into worry or fear starting off my morning.
Right. I like it. Last one. What is your idea of a great weekend, Zoe?
Dancing with friends.
For me, it's being with my kids and doing some type of family activity and then serving in the community. We're really involved in church and I love that too.
Dr. P?
Riding that Harley Davidson, baby.
I gotta love it. For me, I would say getting some exercise in the morning, watching some sports with friends in the afternoon, and then maybe watching a movie with my wife to finish the day off, getting to bed by 11 something. You know, that's me. That's a good Saturday. Guys, I had so much fun talking to all of you. I think there was some wonderful insight for our listeners who come to us for business purposes. But I also think we ended this show off with finding out that we have a lot in common and our differences aren't that bad, right? It's not as antagonistic as I think, you know, we were talking about the news earlier. It's not as antagonistic as people make it seem. I think we all really do like each other. So thank you. And I enjoyed this. Thanks, guys. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed the candid and useful conversation we had today. If you have any questions or thoughts you want to share, make sure to reach out to any of our esteemed guests. Dr. P, you are quite the reputable consultant and trainer. How can someone get in touch with you?
mperkins@ain1.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. Just make sure it's Milton J. Perkins, because there's a couple of Perkins, Milton Perkins out there. Milton J. Perkins, make sure it's the doctor, and I'll respond.
Will the real Milton Perkins please stand up? Nicole, are you open to folks reaching out to you if they'd like to?
Absolutely. So the best way to get a hold of me is our phone line, which is 407-786-6411. That's our local Apple One office. Or you can email me at nmcmurray@appleone.com. And that's APPLEONE, like the fruit and the number spelled out, .com.
If you need anything from us at the Apple One podcast, just remember we are hiring Made Human. So please reach out. Don't be shy. And your feedback will help going towards me always creating content that will be useful and relevant to you and fun. So thank you for listening.